I'd like to say g'day, which is the Australian way of saying howdy, y'all. I'd like to be sharing this morning from Matthew chapter 7. We actually have some slides here, wonderful. Bob asked me to, or gave me this scripture to preach on this morning, and what I'm about to say is probably very basic, and you're probably going to be very, very saying, Dave, this is all basic stuff, it's all Christianity 101, but I can't do anything else with this scripture when I pray about it. That's all I get. And it's a very easy scripture. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who will enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few that will find it. Lord, we just ask you to be with us this morning as we share around your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's some basic stuff here. We'll go to the next one. There's some basic stuff here. It's just basic logic. Jesus is saying something very simple. If you don't go through the gate, you won't get onto the narrow way. You can't tunnel your way in. You can't be dropped in by a parachute. You can't knock the door down. You can't do anything else other than to go through the narrow door in order to get onto the narrow way. And the narrow way is the way that you get to life. And we all want to get to life, don't we? Is that right? So let's have a look at what this narrow way, this narrow door is. Because I think that's the first thing. If we have to go through the narrow door, we have to find out what the door is. Is that good logic? So if we go to John 10, verse 7, Jesus is talking about sheep, and he starts talking about, I am the gate for the sheep. In other words, he is the means through which the disciples, us, the sheep, those that follow, find their way in and out. He is the door. He is the means by which we go through. So when Jesus talks about finding the narrow gate to go onto the narrow way, he's saying something very simple. You've got to go through me. Because I am that door. I am that gate. I am that way. In John 1:29, we read the story of John the Baptist who's sitting down with his disciples having a bit of a teaching time. And Jesus just walks past. We're not told that Jesus was teaching. He wasn't healing. He may have had his camera out and be taking a few tourist shots, something like this. He just walks past. And John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now this is a pivotal scripture for us. Because right up until that time, the understanding that the Hebrew mind had was the only way that you could deal with sin was through the agency of animal sacrifice. You would take an animal, an ox or a lamb or a goat or a something, a bird, in some cases grain, and you would go to the temple and you would sacrifice that for your sins. And there would be the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. Animal blood. And the animals were the agency through which there was remission of sin. But now he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, the only way that sin is going to be dealt with is through him, through Jesus. God will provide for himself a lamb, Abraham said to his son. And the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, in John 1:29, walked past. And suddenly John the Baptist makes this mark in the sand for us. Forgiveness is only going to come through the blood of Jesus. And then we go to John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, Jesus is the way that we get forgiveness for our sins. He's also the way through which we are connected back to God. Sin and connection back to God only happen through him. Enter through the narrow door into the narrow way. It's only ever going to happen through him. There ain't no other way. John 1 verse 3 says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The grand majesty of the creation story, as we sit there, we watch God in awesome power speak, and on the authority of his own spoken word, some things come into being that never previously existed until he spoke the word. And we get blown out when we read the creation story, but it was all happening through Jesus. Nothing came into being that has come into being unless it came through him. So why is it such a hard thing for us to understand that the God who created the world through his Son redeemed the world through his Son? There is only one narrow door. And there is only one narrow way. And if we're going to get onto the narrow way, we've got to go through the narrow door. Christianity 101. We'll go to the next one. So this is my little graphic I've done for you. The green bit is the narrow way. Green for go, green for, you know, nice colour everybody likes. Red for warning, warning, danger, Will Robinson, stop, don't go there. That's the wide way. And we have this thing which is around our community, around our society, that basically says, well, we're all kind of heading in the same direction. Well, there's you and Jesus. You're having sweet fellowship together. There's Bertie the Buddhist, Monty the Muslim, Artie the Atheist, and Henrietta and Herbert the Humanists. And there's lots of other people too, but I couldn't find enough fingers. Google Images is wonderful. And as you look through the fence and you see these guys and they seem to be going in the same direction, you think, what's going on here? You know, I thought this was just Jesus, but these guys seem to be going in the same direction. And as you're thinking this thought, Bertie the Buddhist jumps up and he says, all religions are basically the same. They're just different rivers that flow into the sea. All religions are the same. They all lead to God eventually. Have you heard this? Okay, here's the response that you should have to that statement. Bzzzt, thank you for playing. It's not true. There is only one way. And that's the narrow door, Jesus Christ. There is only one path, and that's the path that he has set before us, the path through which he walks with us. There is only one conclusion for us, and it doesn't smell of sulfur like the other. And when we look, when we come back, when we zoom out and we see the picture from God's perspective, again, this is not super arty, and I apologize for this, but it's the best I can do. Here we have the narrow way leading to glory. Here we have the long and winding sulfur road leading to flames. And you'll notice there that there are two points denoted by those white arrows, of which there seems to be some convergence where the paths kind of draw close to one another. And that's what we see when sometimes we think that other people are travelling in the same direction as us, when they're not. But they are agreeing with us on issues. For instance, a number of years ago in the state of Victoria in Australia, the government had a problem. There was all kinds of bad guys and illegal stuff happening, and they said that the problem was there were too many illegal brothels in the state. So what they did to stop this problem, and this is one of the great pieces of logic that I've never been able to work out, but anyway, they decided they would register all brothels, and then if you didn't keep the rules, you'd be deregistered and you wouldn't be allowed to operate your business anymore, and that would solve the problem of organised crime. It didn't, but anyway. The legislation said that no council had the right to refuse a planning permit to anybody who wanted to open a brothel as a legitimate business in their community. Quite a few people got upset about that. And a man in Canterbury, Victoria, just down the road from the YWAM base, decided he would take up the state government on their offer. And he bought an old building and he was converting it to be a brothel. And Youth for the Mission put an ad in the paper saying, "We are concerned citizens and we want to do something about this. We're going to have a public meeting." And all kinds of people came to that public meeting. Now, as Youth with a Mission, we felt we were making a stand on righteousness. Some of our neighbours were making a stand on land values. Some of our neighbours, they were making a stand on a moral issue that they didn't necessarily tie to the living God like we did. But everybody is in that room. And everybody is in action mode because they don't want this in their community. Now, we're moving in the one direction, but we're not on the same path. Are you with me? That's what you see when you look through the fence, and Monty the Muslim and Bertie the Buddhist and all these other guys seem to be going in the same direction. They're not. Well, to finish the story, the brothel was never really a success financially. We took it in turns to go down and hold protest signs and placards outside, and people with cameras were taking pictures of people going in and out that were never published. And the guy came out and screamed at us and said, "You're ruining my business. Listen, it's all right. I go to church. I'm in the family." Bzzzt. Thank you for playing. We have to come back to this. You've got to go through the narrow door if you want to walk through the narrow way. There just is no other option. Which brings me to the whole idea of signs. The Bible says that in the last days there will be signs. Here is a few of them. That was a joke. You can laugh if you want to. This is an Australian sign. I don't know whether you have this sign on American roads. Wrong way, go back. It usually tells you that you've made a wrong turn and you are about to come on to oncoming traffic. So it is likely that somebody is going to get injured if you continue past this sign. I think that's quite a helpful sign, don't you? The other one down the bottom here, splatter zone. There are people who like to take pictures of animals in zoos and they like to kind of extend themselves over fences and get into positions where they can really, you know, get that shot. And they forget that hippopotamuses like mud and muck, and they also like to flip their tail around. And this is a very helpful sign for somebody who doesn't want to get mud and muck, courtesy of the hippopotamus all over them. And then there's the hard hat area. I mean, there are either low girders or falling things that are going to hurt your head, so wear a hat. Helpful signs. And we don't have a problem with helpful signs, but some people do have a problem with these helpful signs that God put out. You see. And when we have a look at what it looks like in context of the narrow way, it looks like this. Now, originally there were 10 commandments, and Jesus said, "I only want to have two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, Jesus had a Pharisee that came to him one day, or a scribe, and asked him a tricky question. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself." And the guy said, "That's a big tick for you, Jesus, and the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." And Jesus stood back and he said, "You know, you're not very far from the kingdom of God." You'll find that in Mark. He never said the guy was in the kingdom of God, but he said the guy was close to the kingdom of God. All the guy had to do was walk through the narrow door. There are a lot of people who are close to the kingdom of God, but they're not in the kingdom of God because they haven't walked through the narrow door. Get it? And so we have a situation where God gives us these lights, as it were, or call them signposts or milestones or whatever it is, to let us know where the edges are. Now, in another life, I used to be an early childhood educator. Yes, I am a kindergarten preschool teacher. And when I was training, we did this study on play, and the guy was running some a study on children's play and freedom of play. And what he decided to do was he wanted to test the whole idea of rules and regulations in child's play. So what he did was he took away the fences in the playgrounds of preschools to see what would happen. And the kids congregated around the middle of the playground and played on the equipment, but they went nowhere near the trees and the other stuff that was near the fences. So when he put the fences back, the kids are running around everywhere. They're sitting next to the fence. They're digging close to the fence. They're climbing the trees that are near the fence. They're going out totally free within their play area. It disproved his original thesis. And God gives us limits so that we know where the lines are. And if we want to cross off the narrow way in order to get into the red zone, the wrong zone, then we're going to have to break some kind of a commandment or something like that to do that. We're either going to fail in the way of we're not going to love our God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength by what we're about to do, or we're not going to be loving our neighbour as ourselves. Henrietta and Herbert would tell us that there are no such things as absolutes. Years ago in Canberra, we had a ministry that went into high schools and universities, and we got an invitation to a high school called the School Without Walls. Now, the School Without Walls was modelled on a guy called A.S. Neil, who was a humanist who didn't believe in rules. So this school had no rules, and the teachers were called by their first name. It was a very different school. And we received an invitation to come and present the Christian point of view to 20 students in the library. The night before I went into this school with this team, I had a dream. I dreamt I was in space and I was floating in all this grey stuff. And to my left was bright sunlight and to my right was deep darkness. And a voice spoke to me in the midst of the grey stuff and said, "You know, Dave, grey cannot exist unless light and darkness pre-existed." And that was the end of the dream, and I just thought, well, that was too much pizza, and I didn't think about it until I went to the School Without Walls. Now, the lady who ran this class would ask us questions and to explain the Christian point of view, and then she would spend the next 10 minutes or so ripping into us and letting us know why it's wrong and letting the students know why Christianity is wrong. And it was, we were really being set up for the slaughter here, you see. And it all went wrong when I mentioned the word absolutes. She jumped out of her chair and she was almost seething. "There are no absolutes. There is no wrong. There is no right. It's all shades of grey." And I go, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, ooh." I would beg to differ, but it would seem to me that if you can't have shades of grey unless light and darkness pre-existed. And she goes, "I'm not listening to this anymore." And she ran out the door and slammed it and left us alone with the kids. And the kids were asking us gospel-centered questions and we were giving them replies without hindrance. You see? If all truth is relative, then even that statement is relative. It just gets you to nonsense land to go down that logic. Which brings us back to our narrow way. God is faithful, through whom you've been called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. The word fellowship means basically participation or sharing. It's a relational word. It's something that we do together. You have fellowship with your family. You have fellowship with your church. You participate with them. You share with them. You're not an island alone in the sea, but you are connected deeply to the people that are part and parcel of your family and your social networks. And when we are connected and participating with God, we tend to think about it of being part of God's eternal business and playing on his team. One of the individual heresies I have is this, and I'm not going to form a church around it. I believe that God asked Adam to name the animals for a specific reason. And that reason is this. He wanted from his creation point for Adam to know that God always had a place for him in his eternal purposes. From day one. It wasn't that God didn't know what the animals were called. It's because God wanted to include him in the creation process and let him know deep down that he was part of his team and he had a place to participate with God in his eternal purposes. He was created for a reason. And what that brings us to is this whole idea of interactive fellowship. You see, when you're walking down the narrow way, it's not just you doing God's stuff, but it's God doing your stuff too. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Where do you walk? Well, in that case, it was a shadow of death. But where do you walk? Because thou art with me. Because it's interactive fellowship. And you are with him as he goes about his business. This is a two-way partnership. This is a two-way relationship. And we learn it as we go down the narrow way. We learn it nowhere else. The problem is, the devil knows that and he doesn't want us to do anything like that. And so he has his billboard, which he sets just back from the fence in a place where we can see it. And occasionally, as we walk past that billboard, we look and we see the latest advertisement and something happens in us and we go, oh no, oh, have my cake and eat it too. I love cake. Next thing, we've jumped the fence and we're in the red zone. And we're looking for this whole idea of cake and we get shredded. We get burned. We get absolutely scrunched. Not the word I'm looking for, but anyway, it'll do. And we have to go back to the narrow door again. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and good to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in the door we go and we receive healing from Jesus and he's helping us to recover from the shredding that we just received when we went into the wrong zone. And suddenly the next sign comes up and says, are you missing out? And you go, I don't want to miss out. See, and backwards and forwards we go looking for greener grass and pleasure and it's all about me. And there's a lot more signs that you can imagine too. And you see, we are not missing out. And the grass is not greener in an arid zone. But it's just a lie. It's just an illusion. It's something that distracts us from walking down the narrow way with Jesus and having him impart into us and to walk with us and to have the interactive fellowship that he wants for us. We need to decide who we're going to believe. The Bible says that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And it says that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. So we need to make a decision here. If we were going to have a job interview for somebody to be the Lord of our life, and this was the character references, I wonder which one we would choose. Me, I'm going to choose Jesus. Because not only do I believe what he says, but my history with him proves that to be true. And as you look down your journey down the narrow way, you'll find that each step that you have taken also proves this to be true. You are not missing out on anything. It is not onerous for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it is a pleasure to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we come to our take-home message. This is simply it from Matthew chapter 7. First point, Jesus is the door to the narrow way. It's only through him. There ain't no one else. There ain't no one else coming. He's already come. That's it. It's Jesus or nothing. The narrow way brings us to interactive fellowship with God. By walking down the narrow way, we are not missing out. In fact, we are destined for far greater things than the billboards could ever advertise. And lastly, the devil is a liar. Don't believe him. Let's just walk with Jesus every day. So, Father, we want to thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to walk with Jesus every single day down the narrow way. We pray, Lord, for those who stand close to the kingdom of God, who are standing at the door. We pray, Father, that they would come in and they would receive Jesus and also walk in the same way. We would pray, Lord, that you would help us to be salt and light in our communities. And we have nothing to apologize for, because Jesus is just incredibly, incredibly good. And he is the only way. We thank you, Lord, for your time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.